All right, good afternoon. We are going to call this meeting to order. Before we begin, we take a moment to recognize that here in Nevada, we stand on the land of the Washishu, Washoe, Numu, Northern Paiute, Nui, Western Shoshone, Nuwu, Southern Paiute. We take a moment to recognize and honor their stewardship that continues today. With this recognition, we state an intention to rightfully include their voices and respect them as the 27 sovereign tribal nations of Nevada. Winner, will you please take... Angela, sorry. Also, Angela, will you please take roll?
Chair Brown.
Here.
Vice Chair Perkins. Regent Boylan. Regent Brooks. Regent Carvalho.
Here.
You do not have a quorum.
Thank you. According to our bylaws, Title I, Article 6, Section 6, in the event that members of the Standing Committee or Special Committee are absent at the time of the meeting, there is another board member available. We will make a temporary appointment, and I would like to appoint Regent Brager to that position. Angela, will you please take roll again?
Chair Brown.
Here.
Vice Chair Perkins. Regent Boylan. Regent Brooks. Regent Carvalho.
Here.
Regent Brager.
Here.
You do now have a quorum.
Thank you so much. First, we're going to open up to public comment. For those that would like to call in and offer public comment, please dial 669-444-9171 with meeting ID 928-4944-5069 with passcode 555-555. Is there any public comment at GBC?
There is none at this time.
Thank you. Is there any public comment at the system office in Reno?
None at this time.
Thank you so much. Is there any public comment here at UNLV? Great. SCS, is there any public comment on the phones?
There are no callers at this time, Madam Chair.
Thank you so much. We will move on to agenda item 2 minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
I will move to approve the minutes.
Second.
Thank you so much. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Abstention. Thank you. All right, item number 3, Chair's Report. Whew, I got a doozy for you guys. Ready? So I'm actually really excited to announce several things, and I want to talk about kind of the trajectory of where I think this committee is going. But first, I am thrilled to announce that the Nevada System of Higher Education has been awarded a $30,000 grant from Ithaca SNR in collaboration with Complete College America. This grant is a testament to our ongoing commitment to enhancing educational accessibility and efficiency across our system. Over the next year, these funds will support vital initiatives aimed at streamlining credit acceptance, increasing the recognition of credit for prior learning, valuing non-traditional education pathways, and eliminating barriers that hinder students across the progress and success. This one-year initiative aligns beautifully with the work being done by our institutions, the system office, and this board. I want to extend a special thank you to Natalie Brown, whose dedication and efforts were instrumental in securing this grant. Natalie's expertise in finding, writing, and pursuing this opportunity was the reason we received this grant. Her hard work has not only brought this resource to ENSHE, but also set the stage for transformative impact on our students' educational journeys. Please join me in giving Natalie a well-rounded applause for her outstanding contribution. Second, when I became chair, I realized that there was an immense back pile of work that needed to be addressed. So I'm grateful for Natalie Brown and Daniel Archer for their tireless work and their commitment to our system. The more we met, the more I realized that in order to make any real changes, we needed to tackle these things head on. So I want to announce that part of our strategic enhancement of ENSHE, we are transitioning the workforce committee from meeting only 2 hours a year to convening every other month. The significant increase in meeting frequency underscores our commitment to addressing critical gaps and advancing substantial improvements across our system. By allocating more time to this committee, we aim to dive deeper into complex issues such as credit mobility, prior learning assessments, and workforce alignment that require ongoing attention and iterative solutions. This change will allow for more robust dialogue through evaluations, thorough evaluations, and implementation of strategy, ensuring that our actions are both timely and impactful in enhancing the educational and economic landscape of Nevada. I'm excited to outline the pivotal topics of the Workforce Committee that will be tackled in the first few months of 2025. This year, our focus is creating strategic initiatives that promise to significantly enhance the operational efficiency and adaptability of ENCHI. In February, which will be our next meeting, we'll be focused on enhancing workforce dynamics and credit mobility. We'll kick off with a focused discussion on DRI's workforce initiatives, which is a cornerstone to our strategy that will align research with industry needs. We will address systematic challenges to credit mobility aimed at developing seamless transitions for students across our institutions. And we'll do a deep dive in credit for prior learning. This involves identifying challenges and crafting a system-wide plan to ensure continuity. We'll pay special attention to commonly utilized test credits, such as AP, CLEP, and certain military credits, setting the stage for a more inclusive acknowledgement of diverse educational backgrounds. In April, we're then going to analyze the gaps in system-wide credit recommendations. Our April meeting will be dedicated to reviewing the gap analysis report presented by UNR. The hope is that we will be pinpointing areas for enhancement in our credit mobility and credit for prior learning initiatives. Moreover, this report will help give the Board of Regents better guidance in making decisions to ensure classes and programs are aligned with state workforce needs. We will highlight the innovative efforts of TMCC in advancing credit for prior learning, showcasing successful models that could be replicated across ENCHI. We will also review the accomplishments from our previous meeting, using these insights to refine our strategies moving forward. And finally, we will outline our plans for more structure around CTE, career and technical education, credits at the ENCHI level, which will support students at all levels in collaboration with the Nevada System of Higher Education and the Nevada Department of Education across the state. We want to cut down on duplicative efforts, streamline our educational offerings, and ensure we remain relevant and responsive to the needs of all students and the workforce at large. There is no doubt that as a system we need to tackle these issues, but I want to acknowledge that this is a huge undertaking that will require our academic officers and their staff to dedicate more time and energy to these meetings, but please note that my intention is not just to simply convene this group. I'm genuinely challenging each of us to engage fully in our discussions and initiatives. It will make our system better and make us more accessible. Your expertise, insight, and collaborative spirit are crucial as we strive to transform ENCHI into a more integrated, responsive, and impactful system. Thank you, and I look forward to a productive and thorough collaborative year ahead. Thank you. All right, moving on to item number four, GBC and NORCAT MST partnership. GBC, please take it away.
Good morning, Chair Brown, esteemed members of the Board of Regents Workforce Committee. For the record, I am Dr. Amber Donnelly, the president at Great Basin College. I'm excited to introduce the GBC NORCAT Mind Skills Training Program, a collaboration between Great Basin College and the Northern Center for Advanced Technology, or NORCAT. The innovative partnership was designed to address Nevada's workforce development needs, particularly in the mining and critical mineral skilled trades sector, by providing cutting-edge training and education to build a robust talent pipeline. Since 1967, Great Basin College has developed over 75 associate, bachelor's, and certificate programs tailored to meet the demands of Nevada's industries. Our offerings include short-term industry skills certificates, which focus on equipment, students, practical skills, and these are all for in-demand jobs. Great Basin College collaborates with mining and critical mineral advisory boards, like the Nevada Mining Association, that are made up of our regional industry experts. These partnerships ensure that our programs remain aligned with real-world workforce needs. Our success is reflected in our graduation rates. With that, we have risen from 21% in 2015 to 52% in 2024. Moreover, over 90% of our career and technical education graduates are employed within 6 months of their chosen field. NORCAT is a private nonprofit organization that has delivered world-class training and consulting services in the mining sector for over 30 years, reaching clients across North and South America, Africa, and beyond. NORCAT's leadership in mining skills training is built on 5 key strengths: speed to market, enabling a rapid development of customized solutions, depth and breadth, offering hands-on immersive e-learning programs, unique facilities, including the world's only underground production mine for experiential training, technology innovation with high-fidelity simulators, virtual reality, and augmented reality tools, and a global client experience partnering with industry leaders like Vail, Glencore, and Barrick Gold. These strengths make NORCAT an exceptional partner in workforce development. The GBC NORCAT MST partnership brings together GBC's strengths in college-based curriculum and NORCAT's experience in corporate mind skills training. This collaboration offers a complete and integrated training solution that combines academic and industry training under one program. Our goal is to prepare workers with the technical and safety skills needed to be job-ready upon completion of the program, ensuring a steady and reliable pipeline of skilled labor for Nevada's mining industry. A 2023 white paper by the University Center for Economic Development at UNR highlights significant workforce gaps in rural Nevada, particularly in Elko, Humboldt, and Lowndes counties. The study identified gaps in educational services and a major challenge and challenges. The GBC NORCAT MST partnership addresses these challenges by offering high-skill, high-wage training tailored to the needs of these regions. With funding from the Governor's Office of Economic Development WIN Fund, we secured just over $832,000 to support salaries, curriculum development, equipment, and supplies essential for workforce development. Please join me in welcoming Jason Buba, the CEO of NORCAT, who is here to co-present with me today.
Thank you, Amber. For the record, my name is Jason Buba, and I'm the Chief Operating Officer at NORCAT. Thank you to the Board of Regent Workforce Committee for your time today. GBC and NORCAT are embarking in a truly transformative partnership that's going to make a major impact in workforce development in Nevada. There is no equal in terms of the depth and breadth of training and development and advisory services that we're going to be offering the critical minerals industry. We take a very pragmatic approach to learning and development, while at the same time leveraging blended learning environments, which includes in-class theory, immersive learning technologies, and hands-on practical training programs. The industry is facing a large deficit in new workers, creating a challenging situation for employers. Just 2 weeks ago, these challenges were being discussed at the Nevada Mining Association's Workforce Development Committee. And we have new mining operations in construction while large numbers of workers are retiring. We have a drain of talent in a growing industry. Well, we're going to help overcome these problems in part with our new entry-level miner training program. And this program is going to help prepare new workers to be job ready. We're going to educate them about what to expect from a career in mining through a mining fundamentals program. They're going to graduate with certificates in a variety of much-needed health and safety and equipment programs that are relevant to what a new support miner needs. And this program is going to leverage the latest in learning technologies, including augmented reality, virtual reality, and simulation training tools. And this is a modern approach to training new workers with the fundamentals they need to kickstart a prosperous and rewarding career in the critical minerals industry and to help employers to gain access to a pipeline of new workers who are job ready. The entry-level minor program has been made possible by funding by GoEd, who have been extremely supportive of the GBC-NORCAD partnership because the governor's office understands the vital role critical minerals play in Nevada and, more broadly, the modern world that we live in. NORCAD has been recognized by the Academy of Extended Reality twice by winning the top spot in education VR category at their annual international award ceremony. And we brought this internationally recognized learning technologies to the GBC NORCAD MST partnership. We've worked with a leading university on a 2-year study to evaluate the effectiveness of that blended learning environment, including in-class theory, hands-on practical, and learning technologies. And we found that this blended learning environment is the ideal method to effectively empower workers with the confidence and the competence to perform their work safely and efficiently each and every day. Yeah.
With the audio.
There we go. Actually, if we could turn the audio off, I'll speak over this, please. Thank you so much. So what you're seeing on the screen, the video stopped. If it has to play with the audio, that's okay. What you're going to see on the screen are some VR and AR and simulation tools that we're using because it really is transforming the mind skills and safety training, offering an immersive and effective experience that surpasses traditional methods of training by creating realistic scenarios. VR allows people to practice essential skills and respond to hazards in a safe and controlled environment. VR and AR provide hands-on experience that replicates real-world environments and fully engages participants, helping them feel with emotions the pressure and challenges of their roles. Research shows that active participation improves knowledge retention by up to 75% compared to traditional methods. And training for dangerous situations such as chemical spills or equipment malfunctions can be risky in real life. Well, VR eliminates these dangers, and trainees can make mistakes, and they can learn from those mistakes, and they're in a non-destructive, safe environment. By combining this engagement, safety, and measurable results, VR makes our skills-based training more effective and impactful, and it ensures that workers aren't just informed, but they're truly prepared to handle the real-world challenges. Now, the entry-level minor program isn't all we're going to offer. The critical minerals industry now has access to the best world-class skilled labor training and development programs available. And we're going to have ongoing programming at the GBC Elko campus where clients can come to us, and trainers from our facility will go to client site to offer customized training solutions. And this doesn't even just stop there. GBC NORCAD MST is offering a suite of advisory services for clients to help make their operations more efficient, more safe, and more profitable through the investment in people. From human capital planning and training strategies, operational readiness for new operations, site compliance solutions, training needs analysis, custom curriculum development, we're providing industry with top-tier advisory services to empower their operations to be the best there is, not just in Nevada, but in the world. We're here to support the critical mineral industry. We're here to attract and educate our youth. We're here to upskill and reskill existing workers to adapt to an ever-changing workplace. We're here to be an invaluable resource, empowering clients and workers in industry to have access to the best training, the most modern learning techniques available today, helping our critical minerals industry thrive right here in Nevada. Thank you.
For the record, Dr. Amber Danelli, President, Great Basin College. The GBC NORCAD MST program is designed to be self-sustaining, with initial investments in equipment and infrastructure enabling long-term success. We are also committed to increasing diversity by supporting underrepresented groups and collaborating with community leaders to address cultural and language barriers. In closing, The GBC-NORCAP partnership is more than just a collaboration. It is a bold step toward shaping the future of Nevada's workforce. By combining Great Basin College's educational expertise with NORCAT's cutting-edge training capabilities, we are addressing the critical workforce gaps and creating opportunities for both individuals and industries. Together, we are not only preparing workers for today's challenges, but also equipping them with the skills to drive innovation and growth in the mining and critical mineral sector for the years to come. This partnership stands as a testament to what is possible when education and industry come together with a shared vision. We are igniting a brighter future for Nevada's workforce, and we invite you to ask any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Danilli. Are there any questions?
Yes.
Regent Brigger.
I'm not just here because they needed me. No, I'm kidding. My question is, when they make this commitment to get into this field, are they committed a period of time in Nevada, the state of Nevada, instead of getting your training and leaving and going somewhere else? So is there a commitment to stay 2 years, 3 years, forever, whatever?
For the
Am
record,
I saying that right? To go to
Dr.
work.
Dr. Amber Danilli, are you asking if the students or the company?
The students. Well, I would hope the company, but the students. When the students get a certificate in this field, are they prepared to stay here? What's a commitment when they sign on to these classes? Because I don't see the value if they do this and they go to North Dakota or somewhere.
For the record, Dr. Amber Danilli, president of Great Basin College, I would tell you that a lot of the people that will be signing up for these classes are coming directly from companies, and so they are already technically employed within the state of Nevada, and anybody who isn't is likely seeking job in one of those mining or critical mineral fields within the state of Nevada.
Okay, but there's not a commitment after they go through all this and this amazing company puts in their efforts. They're not tied to staying here if they chose to go somewhere else. Like in nursing at Southern Hills Hospital, and sorry, you probably won't want me on this anymore. Like at Southern Hills Hospital, they have the nurses at Galen. If they make a commitment, then they're paying for their schooling or a portion of their schooling. That's what I'm getting at, is if you're going to do this, hopefully they are. And you gave a good, I understand what you're saying, but it really didn't say they would have to stay.
So for the record, Dr. Amber Danilli, president of Great Basin College, it's a great question. I'm glad you asked it. These students and these companies are paying directly for the students. Okay. It's like continuing education. And so we would not be able to require them to stay in the state of Nevada because unlike the nursing program, those companies or those particular students may be receiving direct funds that pay for their education. So if the company is paying direct for them, they might have something that they want, a time of commitment. But there's nothing, I mean, anybody can take a continuing education class and either stay or leave.
And I'm sorry, just one more follow-up. But if you're taking some, and I'm not trying, I hear what you're saying, but if you're I guess my feeling is I want them to all stay here, of course, but if they're doing it from another company and the company's paying for it, I understand that. But if one of our high school students that lives in Ely or in the areas of the different mining, the other mines out there, came to your school specifically for this training, and was there anything we can do to hope that they would stay here? And if not, I'll stop my questioning.
For the record, Dr. Amber Danilli, ask away. You are welcome to. So when I think about students who are going to come into this, any of these given programs, because there are many that we'll be able to offer, most of them are likely job-seeking in the area of critical minerals and gold mining. And that is specifically targeted within our region, including the lithium deposit and the things that are happening through Thacker Pass.
Right. And so, I appreciate that. I just love when people, you know, even when I was on CCS Trustee, we would say to the students that left the state, we hope you come back. You know, you got your basic education here, and now we want you to be part of our society. So thank you for giving me that time. And thank you for your answers. They were good.
Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. First, I just want to understand the relationship. So NORCAT is an educational consultant or contractor that GBC has a partnership with. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate.
Okay. Do you do a work in other locations as well? Are you only in Elko?
Yeah, for the record, my name is Jason Buba. So we are a not-for-profit organization focused on mind skills and skilled labor training and development. We have several locations in Canada, and so our focus is on that skilled labor training and development. This is our first location in partnership with Great Basin College in the United States, so that we can bring all the great things we're doing to empower the new modern, new workforce up north down here to help the Nevada industry, because again, as I had mentioned earlier, that talent gap that exists right now in attracting the youth to the industry is a very serious issue that the mining industry has right now. So through our combined partnership, we're going to be bringing all of our skills and know-how and developed curriculum and learning technologies and adapting those to the Nevada region so that we can educate and bring these things to that new workforce, but also to existing workers who need to upskill due to automation and various other technologies. I will note, just sorry, as a follow-up to your question, ma'am, I think that the skills and programs that we're going to be offering through this partnership actually empowers a lot of folks in North Nevada State who perhaps are looking at some opportunities but need that little bit of upskilling to get into a mining industry where they have very, very well-paying jobs. And I think of some of these folks, you know, quite frankly, up north we train a lot of individuals who don't have higher education. But there's a lot of high-paying jobs in the mining industry that can really, you know, support workers and new entrants into the industry to get well-paying and meaningful careers where sometimes they may not. So where what we see quite often is those folks who get that opportunity, that, you know, 22-year-old kid who gets into the mining industry and within a year or so has a substantial wage and changes the lifestyle of their family in that way. We find that they stick around because they're close to home, they found a well-paying job at home, and they don't leave for a bigger metropolitan area, you know, to find a different type of job. So we do hope to keep those that we train in Nevada ultimately. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're trying to really empower those to better their lives through some education and job placements.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
I just have a few more. Thank you. So the point of differentiation for NORCAT to have the partnership with GBC is, are your, you know, AI and virtual reality assets that you bring that probably GBC does not currently have. Is that correct? I'm just trying to understand the partnership and how this will work.
Sure. For the record, Dr. Amber Dinelli, president at Great Basin College, that's absolutely correct. The technology is very expensive. As Jason said, they already do this in Canada at multiple locations and with other programs and are the training facility there. The governor took a trades initiative trip to Canada, and that's how we first heard about Jason's company and NORCAT and how we could apply that in what we're doing. Largely, the things that we do at Great Basin College are built into a semester or two semesters. The training that we'll be able to do with NORCAT can be 4 hours, 8 hours, 1 week, 2 weeks, 4 weeks. It just depends on the type of training. But it really allows us to do that contract training that right now we can do it, but we're doing it on a much smaller scale. And with the industry and what we have happening within our region, we have to be able to train people. There's going to be more jobs than there are people. And so we would rather make sure that we were upskilling the workforce for these companies, and we have the ability to do that with NORCAT because they will have that next level of technology, and they can keep updating it, where for us as an institution that's smaller, that would be very difficult to do.
Right. So I hear you say that you have, you anticipate, and maybe you already do have partnerships with some of the mines to do this training for their employees, but it's also available for people who are looking to get into mining. So can you give us an idea of time that it would take to get this certificate for somebody that's doesn't have any experience, and also maybe the cost to them?
Yeah, for the record, this is Jason Buba. So we're going to offer a variety of solutions. Our entry-level minor program is a two-week program. It is very intense, relatively short, but intense. It provides some of those fundamental skills that new workers would need to operate as a new miner. And then they're more job-ready so that as they go on to the mining company itself, that mining company has to invest less time in some of that upfront mining fundamentals training. And it might sound like, 2 weeks. Well, that's not that much. Why can't the companies just do that? Well, when we're talking about this labor shortage gap here, where they have to onboard a lot of people in the next few years, saving 2 weeks per new employee is actually quite substantial. To add to that, we're working with employers in the region right now. Some of them are, some of the new operations setting up. Some of them are ones who have been around for a long time now, to understand what their needs are. So not just this two-week program, but we can also bolt onto that their customized training, their specific needs, so that employees going to a specific employer is going to be even more aligned to their onboarding practices from a training and development standpoint.
Thank you. And if you have available the cost to a potential student, I don't know if you have that available at this time. I'd be curious if you know.
So the cost is, like I said, there is, for the record, Dr. Amber Danelli, president at Great Basin College. There's a whole suite of things that they offer. And so I can't give you like a cost because it really depends on the type of training. So as Jason said, if it's something where our trainers have to physically go to a mine, that looks a little different than something where we're doing it on our campus, or if it's something that they're doing through our online website that we have.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much, Regent Brown, for the record. First of all, I really appreciated what you said, education plus industry equals shared values and making sure that you can build more. I hear you do that in a lot of areas that GBC covers. So I think this is just a really great example of that. And I also really love the upscaling part. It's not just about the current students. It's about wrapping in new people to become students to go through the program, and it's taking a more holistic approach of how you're going to help the industry, which will then hopefully be a good feeder. So I think that's amazing. Also, can't forget about Nevada's first STEM. So we always have to make sure that we're paying attention to that. I wanted to ask about the GoEd Win Fund. I know you got some funding, and I think it culminates in June of 25. So how many students do you think that you're actually going to be able to train over the course of the program?
So for the record, Dr. Amber Danelli, president of Great Basin College, initially what we had put in that grant was that our estimates were to train 90 students, which we will do in the spring. Those will be both from different companies, as well as some of the students that we currently have in our programs, anybody who wants to take that opportunity. But that's what we have projected for, and we believe we can achieve that easily.
That's great. I think that's probably a really good ROI for the WIN Fund grants, given all the other people. Yeah, so that's amazing. That's awesome. Does anybody have any other questions? Please, of course.
I'm sorry. I just those numbers piqued my interest a little bit, and so and maybe this is just out of the ballpark. Not based on the funds that the grant that Chair Brown mentioned, and the fact that you said training 90 students. So would that training come out to? I just did just really roughly 800,000 divided by 90 is almost $8,900 a student or trainee. So is it, and that would be for, that's bad math probably, and you're shaking your head. So I'll leave it at that then.
For the record, Dr. Amber Danelli, president of Great Basin College, that $832,000 encompasses a lot of different things. So all of the technology is very expensive, as is basically us reworking the space where we're putting NORCAT, and then building out the curriculum into our learning management system that we have. So it encompasses a lot more than just like 832,000. So.
Okay, that's fair. I'll probably get with you later to get a little bit more on the financials, at least as it pertains to students or trainees. Thank you.
Well, thank you guys so much. This is really great. And we love to hear these kind of programs. And I'm hoping as we kind of move forward with the Workforce Committee, we can implement more of your workforce training programs and help them grow and have more ancillary help for you. So thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we are going to move on to business item number 5, CSN and Southern Nevada Building Trades Apprenticeship Partnership. If you guys want to take the podium, thank you.
Good morning, Chair, and all members of the board committee. Apologies, the first time here. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for inviting us here today. My name is Aaron Ibarra, for the record, AaronIbarra. I serve as the Chief of Staff for the Southern Nevada Building Trades.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Savan Corbett. I currently serve as the Executive Director with the College of Southern Nevada for the Division of Workforce.
Thank you again so much for inviting us here today. We hope to this to be a short educational slideshow on kind of what these programs are, what the apprenticeship programs are, and what our partnership with CSN looks like. We hope to continue to build these partnerships, and we know that it's important that we have all the Board of Regents and all the representatives here knowledgeable about how we're continuing building these programs for the entry students in the trades. Go ahead and do we have a clicker or? Is this a clicker? There we go. So our presenting team, Vince DeVedra is our Executive Secretary Treasurer. He is my boss. He sends his regards. He was not able to be here today. As I mentioned, my name is Aaron Ibarra. I'm the Chief of Staff of Southern Nevada Building Trades, and Stevan Corbett is with CSN. So about Southern Nevada Building Trades. So Southern Nevada Building Trades, we've actually been in Las Vegas since 1960. We are a well-established organization here that has really been a big contributor to the development of all the construction you see on the Strip. We've really built most of what you see on the Vegas skyline. We're very proud of the history that we have here in Nevada and proud of the workforce development that we've been able to give our students as well. One of the major goals of Southern Nevada Building Trades is to give developers and contractors the confidence that they have the skilled workforce they need in Southern Nevada to come to Las Vegas to build the casinos, to have big things like the Sphere here on the Strip that you wouldn't see anywhere else in the world. We're proud to be leading the charge on that education and workforce development, and we're excited to tell you a little bit more about how we do some of the things that we do here in Las Vegas.
Stevan Corbett for the record. So the partnership with the College of Southern Nevada goes back several decades. This has been an amazing partnership for us where CSN has the opportunity to serve as a school of record for the Southern Nevada Building Trades and its 2,000-plus apprentices that are enrolled each semester. One of the opportunities that we get to engage in is provide the logistical support as it comes to registration, making sure that the grades are in and that the students are getting credit for the courses that they are taking. This is a significant partnership, as I shared, that goes back several decades, and we continue to revisit, have conversations in terms of process improvement, what this looks like in terms of being able to make sure that there is a talent pipeline in the construction trades that support all the things that Aaron spoke about.
So I'll tell you a little bit about the program details, kind of how the apprenticeship programs work. So apprenticeship programs are essentially earn while you learn models, where a student applies. If they get accepted, they get to go to these programs that are 2 to 5 years, depending on the specific program, where they get direct on-the-job training on projects like the Sphere, on project like the A-Stadium coming, on project like Brightline Speedrail. We send our students there with the guidance of a journeyman, and they actually get to learn what they learn in the classroom and actually apply it hands-on. So every school is a little different. Some schools you have models where they go to school once or twice a week. Some schools go every day after work. They get off at 3:30. They have some time to relax, and at 5:30 they have to be at their training center to make sure that they're keeping up with the skills that they need to be on the job. Other programs, they send them to work for around a month or two. They come back, and then they have around 2 to 3 weeks of direct instruction, and then they send them back to work. So you really get this direct hands-on training where you can then go apply it on the job site, what you're learning in the classroom. And we're very proud to work with TSN, where they actually get college credit for these programs. So throughout the 2 to 5 years of their actual apprenticeship program, they're getting CSN college credit to make sure that by the time they graduate, in some instances, they're 1 credit away from an associate's degree with CSN. And that's important, right, because we understand that the construction industry is a very harsh career to pursue on the body. So we have a lot of folks that want to get in through the trades. Later on, they want to start their business. I actually have a really nice story. We had one of our apprenticeships of the year for the bricklayers that ended up starting his own company, Ascend Stone Tile. He ended up starting his own company and ended up employing now his own brothers and sisters. And that's significant, right? When you join these programs, you really join a foundation that's able to help you throughout your journey. And these programs and through SMBTU, we're able to support apprentices that want to start a business of their own by giving them grants, by giving them the tools that they need to connect them with small business association, whatnot, to make sure that they have the resources they need to start their own businesses if that's what they want to do. Or if they want to go to construction management, we work with more than 450 direct local contractors that if they ever want to move up and join the actual company themselves, they're more than welcome to do that as well. So it's a really good program where you can get in the door, get some experience, so you don't have to pay any tuition if you get accepted, and you're able to grow your skills as you're actually growing in your own career. And by most of these guys get paid more than me. I think they always say when I bring up wages, but our lowest wage right now when they journey out is around $40 an hour. The highest wage is around $110 an hour on the check. That's when you start an apprentice, you get around 50% of that. But even then, someone coming fresh out of high school getting $20 an hour, I don't know how many people are getting that much right fresh out of high school, right? So it's a really good opportunity for those that are able to get into these programs. And we're very excited to continue to grow these grow programs in partnership with CSN. And as you can see there, we represent a vast variety of different trades. We represent 19 different construction trades, but there's a good amount of different trades that are there that when I talk to students all the time, I tell them we represent 19 different trades. They don't know what these trades are, right? So we made an apprenticeship guide that kind of guides them on each of these trades, kind of what they do, what you need to be good at if you want to pursue these trades, and making sure that we're getting the best candidates available to join each specific trade. So apprenticeship by numbers. So these are updated from the state labor, the apprenticeship director here from the state. We currently have around 4,000 apprentices in the construction industry. I do want to flag that the Southwest Carpenters are not under SMBTU, but I think it's important. They have one of the bigger programs here in Southern Nevada, so it's important to still highlight them. But we represent more than 3,500 apprentices here in Southern Nevada, and by default also NCHE students in Southern Nevada. And we're really excited to continue to grow this. Something exciting I just learned as well, I recently asked for the numbers for women in the trades. We were recently given a grant by the DOL for around $715,000 to continue to expand women in the trades, and we're very excited with how this is looking. So in 2022, there was around 200 women in the apprenticeship programs here in Southern Nevada. In 2023, we had around 400 women in the trade in Southern Nevada. In 2024, we just got the numbers. We have more than 600 women in the trades here in Southern Nevada, and we expect that to grow tremendously within the next 2 to 3 years. So it's something we're going to continue to push. Obviously, with the grant that we got from the DOL, we're going to continue to do the outreach we need to make sure that women know that these jobs are out there, these programs are out there, and that they are welcome in these trades if they want to pursue it. So how these apprenticeships are structured, I like talking about these partnerships as a private-public partnership because that's really what it is. The JTCs are a group of contractors and union representatives that kind of get together and say, hey, contractor, I need to make sure that our workers are the best skilled and trained workers we have available. The unions meet with them and say, okay, we want to have the workforce you need to have that. So they work together to kind of create the curriculum, make sure that they have all the tools, all the tools they need to make sure that they're learning to the best of their abilities, right? So the JTC is a big part of what the apprenticeships are. The director and coordinator is actually the director of the program. So each individual apprenticeship program has a director that leads each program. They go out there and do that outreach to the schools. They go out there and go to the conferences. They make sure that the school specifically has all the tools that they need. They go out and talk to you guys, right? You might be meeting with some of these directors. They're the main face that goes out there, make sure that they have the tools they need. And then the instructors are usually former tradesmen, people that are retiring, some of the best in their craft. That really are able to give these folks the hands-on training that they need. It's a really great model. Like I said, we work with more than 450 local contractors, and that partnership with the businesses and making sure that we are meeting the demands that they have is really what this is all about, making sure that they have all the tools that they need to be successful. Benefits. So there's many benefits to joining an apprenticeship program. Obviously, the hands-on experience is one of the biggest things. Not only do you get to go in the classroom and kind of learn the theory of what your trade consists of, but you actually get sent to the job sites and actually put that into application. You get hands-on earning. You get paid while you're doing this. Like I said, you don't get tuition. You don't have to pay any tuition when you get to these programs. So if you get in, we're investing into you, and we're actually paying you a wage to make sure that you are getting the skills that you need to be successful in the construction trades. Lifetime benefits. So all apprenticeships include comprehensive insurance and pension packages, which I sometimes have to sit down with the apprentices and let them know what that means, right? Because people don't value what a pension and what insurance is until they need it, right? So we make sure that they understand that you're going to be getting a good pension and you have a great insurance benefits for your family and for your loved ones as you grow onto your career. And the continuous learning. This is one of the biggest, my favorite parts about the apprenticeship programs. Not only do you get to go through the apprenticeships, but once you journey out and you graduate from these programs, you always have access to come back and get any credential that you need to be successful in your career. We just had a big boom from folks coming from Arizona. There's a big chip plant coming there, and they need orbital welding certificates. They didn't have very many in Arizona, but we have our training center here that does orbital welding. So we had a bunch of people come from Arizona that were members of their local union, and they were able to get trained here and take those certs back to Arizona to make sure that they have the training and certs that they need to be successful. So we're very proud of the programs that we have, and it's a very exciting thing. How to apply. So every program is a little bit different, right? And it's a blessing and a curse. We actually have the opposite issue of most of the industry, where we have a surplus of demand when it comes to construction trades. I'll give you an example. The electricians, it's very popular being an electrician right now. They were looking for around 200 new students to come into their program, and they received more than 1,700 applicants to join the trades, right? So it's a very big, high-demand industry right now. Obviously, you see the benefits. I think a lot of folks would love to be in these programs. But what I always tell people is the trades is not the easy way out. It is really, especially these specific programs, this is really, I say, it's like D1. If you want to go D1, these are the programs that are building the Sphere. These are the programs that are building the A Stadium. These are the programs that are building the Brightline Speed Rail. These are the programs that are really building the biggest things here on the Strip. And it's our job as building trades to make sure that we have agreements in place to ensure that there's apprenticeship requirements for that. So part of my job is to make sure that we sit down with people like Brightline Speed Rail and we get the apprenticeship requirements on that one. Meet with the Oakland A's stadium folks to make sure that we get the apprenticeship requirements on that one, because that makes sure that we have a place to put these folks when they get in. The worst thing for us is that we have a bunch of apprentices and we have nowhere to put them to work, right? That's always the worst case scenario for us. We need to have a place to send them, and getting those apprenticeship requirements are crucial throughout that process. But the application process is individual to each trade, depending on how busy work is. Obviously, we had a big solar boom, the big electrician boom the last couple of years. Right now, I'll give you an example. The bricklayers and tile setters are a little slow right now. We expect it to ramp up in the beginning of next year. Similar things for different trades. So that's one of the biggest critiques I get, is why don't the applications open at the same time? It's really hard to do that when the demand is so different throughout the year for the different trades, right? Not every trade starts at the same time. You got someone like the insulators, they're the last group on the job, right? So you have to make sure that you're mindful of when you're opening applications to make sure that we don't just have people sitting on the bench not getting paid, which is one of the biggest benefits of the apprenticeship programs, right? So we have this theory of responsible growth. We don't want to grow faster than the demand allows, so we want to make sure that all our students are able to get that hands-on learning, which is crucial to make sure that they graduate through these apprentices within the 2 to 5 year timeline. And that concludes my presentation. I'm open to any questions.
Thank you. thank you. I really appreciate your presentation. I'm very familiar. I visited most of trades when I was a commissioner because of all the buildings and things that are going on. One question that I do have is that, do you have the one thing that I think sometimes misses with the trades is how do you teach? Sometimes they work, and then something comes up that there's no job for 6 or 7 months. Do you have a wraparound service that teaches them that they need to save money throughout these processes?
Yeah, so we actually recently started. So just for your background, building trades has been under new leadership for the last 2 years. Myself and my boss have been in this position for the last 2 years. We actually started a SNAP financial grant source. So the only thing that apprentices need to pay for is their tools and their books. If you can't afford that, we have grants for you for that. But for financial aid, we actually have trainings every other month on different topics. One of those trainings is financial education to make sure that they understand, like, hey, don't get that truck, right? The construction industry is very up and down, and we want to make sure that they have the resources they need. We also started a first-time home buyers program. So if you're in the trades and you're looking to buy a house, we can give you up to $7,000. No, you don't have to pay back nothing, just to make sure that we have the resources you need to start.
You probably have to live in the house 5 years.
Yeah, you have to live in the house 5 years, but you don't have to pay it back afterwards.
I know. I'm real estate 35 years, so I help all those.
Thanks.
And Regent, to answer your question also, all these apprentices are CSN students.
Right.
So they also receive all the different wraparound services and benefits that come as being a CSN student. So everything from the coyote cupboard to if they get an interview and they need some threads to wear clothes, these type of resources in partnership with the trades, it really takes this holistic approach to serve the whole student.
And, you know, I just wanted you the opportunity to say that. I knew that, but I felt like it's important for the public to understand it's more than just a job. I have one of my grandsons graduates in December, but then the graduation is June to be a full-fledged electrician. So it's really a great program.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Chair Brown said I could go, so. I have a question on slide number 7, which is the apprenticeship structure. Mm-hmm. Where does CSN fit into that structure?
So I'm going from memory, Stavon Corbett for the record. So once the individuals apply to the actual apprenticeship, they then work with our CSN team in terms of getting them registered as a CSN student. And so once they're connected into that, there are different rosters that are shared. Right now, it's a manual process. This is something that we're actually working with an entity, so it becomes automated, which is going to be a huge support. One of the other components I want to add, as Aaron talked about, is recognizing a lot of the entry levels are not according to our academic calendar because it's really the labor market that drives that. So that's where CSN works with the different trades as part of the entry level in enrolling these students as CSN students. I hope that answers your question.
I think so. I do have a follow-up question on that. I had a question written down to ask you how competitive the programs were, and you answered that very well. And you also answered what you do with these people who are in the apprenticeships, and there might not be a job for them after, and you give support to them. But I also think about, you mentioned specifically for electricians, there were 200 spots and 1,700 applicants. So does CSN or do you reach out to those 1,500 others and help them try to find another educational goal, or you just, I hope we don't just say, well, sorry, try again next year. You know, I hope that, you know, I think it's, again, as you said, it's responsible growth, and I want to be sure that we're also doing responsive workforce education for those people who may not be so fortunate to get one of those very valuable spots to get in one of these programs. So if you could speak to that as well, I would appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. So I will say every program is different. So every program manages what they do with their lists. Specifically, some we've worked with the JTCs recently we finished up our Southern Nevada Building Trades Apprenticeship Guide. It talks about every different apprenticeship. And what I'm really telling them is, like, hey, if you have applicants that you weren't able to get in, send them the apprenticeship guide that talks about the 18 other programs that we represent, right? Because, like I said, these spots are opening every once in a while. And honestly, if you know, I'll tell you, the biggest thing that's keeping folks out is math. they're not passing their math test, for electricians specifically, right? They're not passing their math test, right? So if you're not the best at math, there's other trades that we represent that you might be a better fit in, right? So that is something we need to be better at, reaching out to those folks that might not be getting in the trades right away. I will say everyone that does apply is put on a list and gets re-notified whenever the application reopens. So they are kind of reached out to again if they aren't in, but we do need to do a better job of reaching out to them and making sure that they know about the other trades that are available. We're trying to do that right now with CCSD. I sit as the chair of the CCSD Construction Advisory Committee. There's 14 different CTE programs right now with CCSD. So we just had a showcase for them. We brought them to the Ironworkers Apprenticeship Program. We gave them the guide, and it talks about all the different apprenticeships. So I think it's really educating them about the different ones that there are in town, because everyone's going to know the popular ones. Everyone's going to know about the plumbers, electricians, but it's really those smaller programs that we want to help grow, the plaster and cement masons, the bricklayers, the insulators, right? All those are the same format of program that not everyone might know what they do. So that guide kind of tells them about their job description, kind of what they need to do to get in, and we're really hoping to push that out more so that people know about the different options that they have.
Stevan, did you want to add anything to that?
Thank you for that. Stevan Corbett for the record. The only thing I would add is that CSN is in discussion with a lot of these trades in terms of a math bridge program, recognizing which Aaron talked about, there is a math gap or a skills gap in that space. And so I'm wanting to make sure that these opportunities continue to be diverse, is what are those type of bridge supports that need to be in place so that talent pipeline can be enhanced and become more diverse in that space. So just wanted to add that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We hear that math is really a barrier for so many people coming into ENCHI. So I really do appreciate you addressing that. Thank you.
And I do have to give a shout out to the library districts. We actually have partnered with the library districts to anyone that reaches out to us and says that they have issues with math. We have a direct reference with the libraries to kind of give them those resources. So shout out to the libraries. I don't know if they're here, but they're always a great resource to have.
Great.
Regent Goodman.
I'm not on this committee, but this is really exciting. I there's so many students out there that can really take advantage of this. I took some photos because my son has some friends that I think could take advantage of it as well. And
I have some guys in my bag. I'll get them to you.
Okay, great. I this is the kind of stuff that Regent Brown and I have talked about. It is just so exciting to provide these kinds of opportunities. Not everyone needs to go to an academic four-year institution, and this kind of stuff is really exciting to me, especially that hands-on experience, and I just wanted to say thank you for all you're doing, both of you. It's just really very, very exciting stuff, so thank you.
Thank you so much. I just want to say, you know, when we connected a few months ago at this point, and you told me that 11% of CSN students were actually in the apprenticeship program, that blew my mind. I had no idea. And so that's why I was really happy to have this today, because to echo what Regent Goodman just said and, you know, what I've been kind of saying, I also chair the CSN presidential search. And even though CSN is so many things to so many people, one of the things it is a workforce pipeline for this state, especially this region. And so I think you guys are obviously at a minimum 11% a part of that, but also you set a tone and you set an infrastructure that we can replicate. And I just want to say thank you for coming today. And I really appreciate, I wrote down just, you know, I really appreciate the Department of Labor grants that you guys are going after, the diversity that you guys are seeking, how you're trying to automate some of this actual signing in. I think that just less barriers to entry. It sounds like you guys are pivoting where you need to pivot, you're growing where you need to grow, and it's scaling, and it's clearly a huge part of the CSN institution. So thank you so much for coming and making us all smarter and more aware of what's going on.
No, it was perfect. Okay.
Awesome. Thank you guys so
much. Thank you so much.
Okay, we are going into agenda item number 6, new business. Do I see any new business? All right. Moving on to item number 7, public comment. Is there any public comment at GBC?
There is not this time.
Thank you. Is there any public comment at the system office in Reno?
There is not.
None in reading.
Is there any public comment here at UNLV? SES, is there any public comment on the phones?
I do have one caller, Madam Chair. Caller with the number ending in 3354. Please press *6 to unmute. State and spell your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes to address the committee.
Oh, thank you very much. This is for the main meeting, correct? Not the committee?
No.
This is for the workforce committee.
Okay, so I jumped on early. I was wanting to speak to agenda item number 27 for the main meeting.
Well, thank you so much. We will hear from you shortly then. All right, with no public comment, I will close this meeting of the Workforce Committee at 1:04 p.m. Thank you.